Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Well, good morning. I know you had a great time experience worshiping the Lord. I just love that song, The Goodness of the Lord. Amen. I mean, you know, God is faithful. And He's good. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning. Pastor Terry, he's on vacation again this Sunday, you know, and so I get the chance to speak this morning in his stead. But how many know God is good? God is good. And I want to talk to you this morning about hope. Okay? How many know if you look at the world, it's a hopeless situation? Amen? And some of us are losing hope. You know, with what's going on and what's coming in the world, okay? You know, let's kind of be real with it. You know, that a lot of people are just giving up, you know, and depression and anxiety and all these things that are going on. But there is hope, you know. And for the believer, we need to understand, you know, that Jesus has already told us, in the world you will have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer, I have overcome. Yeah. You know, and I want to share with you this morning, you know, that Jesus came. The world is trying to program us to its system. You know, but Jesus have come to give us life. Not just life, but life more abundantly. You know, and what we have to understand as a church, we can't allow the world to squeeze us into its mold or its system. Because that's why we lose hope when we get our eyes off of who? Jesus Christ. Okay? So when we go through things, it's not an indication that we've done something wrong. Many times we think, well, what have I done to deserve this? There's nothing sometimes that we've done but live right. But because we're in this world, I mean, you know, we can be touched by what's going on, but it's not, it can't take us out. It shouldn't bring us down. It shouldn't put us into depression. And I use that word lightly because a lot of people get upset. Well, you just don't know my story. How many know we all got a story to tell? But there is something greater on the inside of us that we have been given by God to help overcome whatever we face in this world. And whether you realize it or not, the Bible says that we have not a high priest which have not been touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but in all point tempted as we are, yet without sin. Do you not know that Jesus went through everything that we're facing today? Jesus went through it. Whether it was the Roman guards or the prison or whoever it was, he was confronted, amen, with trials and tribulation. Immediately when he was filled with the Holy Ghost, he was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. But did he say, oh my God, why me, Lord? No, he didn't. Guess what? He relied upon who? The Holy Spirit that God had given him to lead him through the tribulation or the temptation that the enemy was bringing. So I want to encourage you this morning, there is hope. Now, what we do as humans, many a times, we say, well, I hope it works out. I hope I get the promotion. I hope I can get through this trial. I hope that my marriage works out. I hope my finances won't go dry on me. I hope. All these hopes, and still we are wearied, and we are we're kind of discouraged. But if we really understand the word hope, you will understand that when I say hope, what I'm really saying is I have a favorable expectation. So when I say hope, what I'm saying is I'm already expecting something to happen. Let me just break this. Let me give you some definitions of hope, okay? It's a expectation, a trust, a confidence. Okay? There's a root word that it means anticipation with pleasure. And it welcomes. It also is a desire for good with expectation of obtaining something. And one of the foundations for hope is in Colossians 1:27, it says, Jesus Christ in you, which is what? The hope of glory. Let me give you some more. It also represents possibility of a positive outcome. How many know this is changing my mindset about hope? Because when you say you hope, what you're telling me is I'm expecting something to happen. Now, I had never been pregnant. Somebody said, you got to watch what you say now. I'm just saying, God didn't design me to be pregnant. Amen? But my wife, Faye, have been pregnant 4 times. Well, where are you going with that? Did she say something? Oh, okay. Okay. Well, where are you going with that? Okay. Now, it would be, if she said, honey, I'm pregnant, but she never starts showing. Where is the expectation of that pregnancy? See, but the hope of expecting something is a positive outcome. See. And we got to learn, church, that when we go through, it is not to take us out, but it's to build godly character on the inside of us. So that when we do get in a hard, in a predicament place, there has been something built on the inside of us that's called godly character that will keep you longer than a gift. But we want to build on gifts, but what God is saying, I want to build my character within you so that you can handle the gift, that you don't merchandise the gift, that you don't misuse the gift, that you don't misuse each other. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to allow you to go through some things to take some things out of you. So my expectancy when I go through is that I'm coming out just like Christ. That's my expectation. Okay? Now, the word also means it is a light, it is a beacon, it is a positive outcome, but it is also a beacon of light in darkness. So when the darkness comes, I don't lose hope. Why? Because hope, I have an expectation of what God has said. See, Proverbs, I think it's 13, it said, a hope defers make the heart sick. But a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Now see, what you got to understand about Solomon, he's given us some illustrations. If we would take wisdom, we would understand that our hope is not in material things. Our hope is in God. So we're going to be able to obtain from the tree of life. See, as a believer, yeah, we will go through things, but how many know hope defers, make the heart sick? How many know God is not going to delay or hinder or hold back what he has for us? But the heart that is, when we begin to put confidence in things that God has not said, how many know God is not obligated to bring it to pass? So therefore, if you get sick and you get upset, well, when is God going to move? When you begin to line up with him. Amen? So what it is that When things are delayed with God, how many know that faith and patience come along and undergird us so that we can be patient and have faith to know that God is going to bring this thing to pass? Okay? All right, let's go to some scriptures here. I want to give you a scripture. Let's go to Ephesians, the second chapter, in verse 11. Ephesians 2 and verse 11, okay? All right. It says, therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, whom are called uncircumcision, by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Verse 12. Remember that you were at that time separated from who?
Christ.
We were separated from who? Christ. Excluded from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ, you whom formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of Christ. Let me just explain this to you right here. What it's saying here in your formal, when you were, before you got saved, how many know we were without God? We were without him. So without him, there was no what?
No hope.
Notice it said, your former. Remember where you were formerly Gentiles in the flesh. In other words, we didn't know God. And that word we were called uncircumcision, what that word mean, uncircumcision, mean that we didn't have covenant with God. See, what covenant does, it binds us with God. And what covenant gives me is that when I'm in covenant with God, how many know God is obligated to do what? Take care of me, provide for me, and to make sure that I'm taken care of.
Amen.
When I'm in covenant with him. And we don't hear this a lot in this day and time, having covenant with God. It is not an agreement, it is a binding. That God said, if you line up with my kingdom, this is going to happen to you. Remember, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will do what? They will be added to you. See, it's very important that we are in alignment with God. Why? Because this is what gives us hope. God, your word said. Okay? So we were without Christ. And the Bible says that it is impossible with man, but all things are possible with who? With God. So when we were without him, we didn't have hope. But let's read a little further. Let's go to Romans 8 and verse 24. But we were brought now by the blood of Christ. I mean, you know, Jesus has bridged that gap that where we were separated. Now he's kind of bridged the gap to where we can accept him. Okay? I'll give you a little time there. Romans 8 and 24. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. And that word persevere means to continue in a course of action. See, we don't want to persevere sometimes. We just give up and lose hope. But how many know that when you are filled with faith and believing and trusting God, there's an expectation. God, you said this. I believe it, so it's going to happen. Now, if you just wishly, you know, trying to name it, claim it, and don't have no relationship with God, how many know you're going to be disappointed? Sadly to say. It also means to be persistent despite difficulties or delays we face. The Bible teaches us to persevere in faith, trusting God to fulfill what he has promised. See, sometimes it looks like God has forsaken us. But that's just what it looks like. What do we believe? See, when Jesus told the guys, he said, let's go to the other side. He didn't tell them a storm was coming. But he said, let's go to where? The other side. Between them leaving what Jesus said, how many know there was a storm that came up? And the disciples began to be what? Worried. And they said, hey, do you not care? You know, Jesus down there taking a nap. And then they goes down and said, do you not care that we're about to perish here? We're about to drown here? But what did Jesus say? We going to the other side. See, God has gave us promises, but the promises, how many know the promises are with God, a yes and amen in him. Amen? So what we have to understand, when God promises us something, we begin to stand on the promise, there are going to be some distractions. There are going to be some things to come. Sometimes it might even feel like, well, God, you're delaying. But how many know he's a God that is always on time? Always. He never makes a mistake. Amen? So we have to persevere. All right? Let's look at Romans, the 15th chapter. Because now that we got hope, let's move on. Let's see what else we can come up with. Romans 15, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 13. He says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. In what? Believing. Do you not know that there's a scripture that says, even the devils believe and tremble. So it's more than just believing. That word believe means to trust, to be persuaded, to have faith in. So when I say I believe, what he's telling me here, that if I believe, guess what? I got to take some actions. It is a verb word. You do something. Amen. If I believe I'm saved, guess what? I'm going to live saved. Amen. If I believe I got the victory, guess what? I'm going to live like I got victory. See, if I believe, see, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. And what we have to understand, we have to believe in order to be saved. He said, with the heart we believe unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, it's believing. The Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe shall have eternal life. And this is eternal life, that we may know him, the true and living God, our relationship with him. See, my belief system has to change. And that's what repentance is all about, is change the way you think or change the direction that you're going in. Repent. Okay? It means of change of thought. Change the way you think. Change your direction you're going in. See, it don't do me any good to repent if I continue on in the same way I'm in the same stuff I'm doing. That's not repentance. Okay? Are you with me? Let's read verse 13 again. Now may the God of hope fill you with joy. How many know we need some joy? And peace. We need some peace. You know, and what peace means is that I'm in a restful place. I'm not easily disturbed. Thank God I done went through some things and I'm not easily disturbed. Now I know people say, well, now he bragging. No, honey, you got to understand. You got to testify what God has done for you. See, we're afraid to say, man, I got peace in this. Oh, you trying to be super spiritual. No, honey, you just done went through some things and you realize God got this. He's bigger than I am, and I'm his son, and guess what? He ain't gonna, hey, I'm like David. I've been young and now I'm old, and I never seen the righteous forsaken nor the seed begging for bread. I serve a big God, amen? Woo, glory, hallelujah. It ain't all about me, it's about him. He's changed me to the place to where I can rest. Because he told me to. He said, come on to me, John. I'll give you some rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm learning of him. And guess what? He said, when you learn of me, I'm going to give you rest for your soul. See, and that's what those emotions, that mind, that will, amen, and those emotions and those desires, I'm going to show you how to rest, John. I'm going to show you how to overcome these things. Just learn of me. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, the devil wants us to think, hey, you got to have some heavy burdens. No, honey, I choose the light burden. Because that's what he's given me. Hallelujah. How many know the commandments of God are not grievous? Amen. They're not burdensome. He want to set us free, not put us in bondage. And the enemy want to tell us, you know, well, you know, it's too good to be true. You can't live like that, honey. The devil is a lie. You can, because God said it. Yes, he is. But he said, now may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace. In what? Believing. See, and what the devil want to do, he wants you to believe his lies. Oh, you can't believe God for that. How many know if you start out small, it's just like that mustard seed. How many know it's the smallest seed, amen, that's out there. But how many know it blossoms and make a big tree? Amen? And what you got to understand, even the birds begin to come and lodge in it. But what I want you to see with that principle is this. Sometimes our faith might start off little, but how many know that it can grow? And that's what God is doing. He's growing our faith. He's growing our faith so that when we go through these difficult times, we don't lose hope. So he's given us what? Hope. Okay? Let's look at Peter for a second here. Go with me to 1 Peter verse 3. Chapter 1, yes, sir. Chapter 1, verse 3, okay? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope. You are born for hope. Do you realize that? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Do you realize when Jesus got up, who else got up?
We got up.
We did. See, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it's Christ who live in me. The life that I live now is by the faith of the Son of God. Amen. See, so what he's saying is, you're saying, well, how was I on the cross with Jesus? 2 Corinthians 5 in the latter end of that chapter says, he who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That we might be made in right standing and right relationship with Jesus Christ. See, so when he took upon him the sins of the world, how many know he was dying for you and I? Because he didn't sin at all, but how many know he became sin that we might become what? Righteousness. And that righteous means that I'm in right standing with God. And let me give you another little secret on that righteousness. It really means the right that God has on you. it's God's right that he have on you. You say, what do you mean, preacher? You were bought with a price. You are no longer your own. You are his. Well, so you're his. I don't have nothing to boast about, but hey, I'm just daddy's son. I can't help because I'm the favored. I told one guy that. He said, you can't prove that by scripture. I said, yeah, I can. John laid on his breast. I said, what's my name? He said, John. I said, okay, that's all I got to say. You got to claim that for yourself, right? But anyway, let's move on. We've been called born again to live a living hope through the resurrection. How many know that we have hope, a living hope? Not a dead hope, a living hope, an expected hope. I'm expecting God to do this. I'm expecting God to help me. Amen. You know, because I tell him, Daddy, if you don't help me, nobody else will. He said, okay, son, I got you. All right, let's drop down to verse 13, okay? Same chapter, just drop down to verse 13, okay? He says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. What is the word believe? It's an action word. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to this fashion lust which you were in your ignorance. And that word there, that completely, it means that there's a goal that you are accomplishing. But notice what he tells us to put our faith in what? To put your hope, fix your hope completely on what? The grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a teaching that's going on that, you know, well, grace covers it all. I can just do what I want to do. How many know that ain't what grace is all about? See, you know, to every truth, there is a counterfeit. Yes. And you got to understand, grace really is the endowment power of God. It's the divine influence upon our hearts. It's his divine influence upon your heart. Grace really is a person. According to St. John, it said grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the grace that we need when we're going through. And how many know he's in us? He's not against us. The Bible said, if God be for you, who can be against you? And how many know God is for us, not against us? Why would God save you and turn around and try to withhold himself from you? That don't make sense to me. But he's a God that saved me, and he's a father. He's a good father, amen, that he loves me, amen. In spite of my ignorance and my mistakes, God still loved me, and he picks me up, and he began to dust me off, and he began to tell me, son, I'm still here. Hope for the grace of God. Now listen to this. Fix your hope completely on the grace. Notice what he said. Place your hope completely. The end goal, the perfectly, the entire, everything about me. I'm putting my hope in the grace of God. Why should I do that? Listen at this right here. The definition of grace is joy. Favor. Acceptance. A kindness granted or desired. A benefit. Thanks. Gratitude. Grace. God, let's see, a benefit, thanks, gratitude, A favor done, listen at this, a favor done without expectation of return. Now grab hold of that. Watch this. God, if you'll just get me out of this, I'll do this. You know, God, I'll fast and pray if you'll just anoint me to teach and preach. I'll fast, I'll go 40 days just fasting and praying. Let me tell you something. You're just going to go hungry. You're just going to go hungry. Because see, what God has already written out in the Word, you just need to be obedient to it. I like what Brother Stephen, we had a marriage fellowship yesterday. I like what he said, you know, because we was talking about, you know, the couple was sharing their testimony, and she was sharing, you know, about how that she was obedient. When she became obedient to God, things just start turning around. And Brother Stephen, we were just, you know, having fellowship, and he said, you know, if we'll go ahead and be obedient, we won't need a miracle. It'll just happen. Things will just happen. See, I'm not trying to get you looking at this crazy, but you got to understand something, that what God has said in His Word, I need to obey what God has said. I don't need to go try to pray God off of it. I don't need to try to substitute with something where, God, if you'll just be good to me, God, I will serve you the rest of my life. Honey, He's already been good to you. Even when you was in your sin, He was being good to you. The Bible said, even when we was in our trespasses and sin, God was still being merciful. But listen, just right here, I'm telling you, it's a favor done without expectation of return. Absolutely freeness. See, Paul told him this in Ephesians. He said, it's not of works, lest any man should boast, but it's the gift of God. See, we're saved by what? Grace through faith. See, it's nothing I can do to work up. I was so ignorant growing up. You know, I used to think, well, you know, if I just be so good, that means God is with me. How many know that's the lie from the enemy? It's not based on my goodness. How many know it's based on the finished work of Christ? It's what He has done for me. Not what I can, see, what I can do for Him now is humble myself and obey Him. That's what I need to do. Before is trying to perform a work to get God to move, it takes faith to do that. See, and he's given to every one of us a measure of faith. But we have to grow in that faith. We have to mature in that faith so that we can begin to align ourselves with whatever God wants, that's what I want. Whatever God don't want, that's what I don't want. Whatever God hates, that's what I hate. Whatever God loves, that's what I love. But it's absolutely freeness. Let me go back and read this so we can get the full extent of it, okay? Because this will help you. A favor done without expectation of return. Quit trying to bribe God into doing something and just be honest with Him. God, I'll treat them right if. No, honey, you got to get rid of that. You need to treat them right because you love them. Amen. We treat people the way we want to be treated. Amen. You got to understand something. You can't bribe God. You can't outfox Him. You can't outsmart Him. People trying to outsmart God in this day and time. You know, well, you know, I think we should do this. How many know God is about life, not death? And we have to understand that. That God is not about separating. He's wanting to bring us together. God is not about competing, but He's about completing. See, it don't do us any good to compete with each other. God is saying, you know, that's childish. You need to grow up and complete what I've assigned you to do. A favor done without expectation of return. absolutely freeness of the loving kindness of God to man, finding its only motive in the bounty and free-heartedness of the giver. It's unearned, unmerited favor. It brings joy and thankfulness to him. That's what grace does. See, grace don't give me a license to go out here and sin. It empowers me to overcome sin. Okay. Let's look at Hebrews for a second here. And I'm coming in. Hebrews 6. Do you have hope today? Got a few of y'all. What can we do to help the rest of y'all get some hope? What can we do to get you some hope? Hope is in you. Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. He's in you. Did I tell you Hebrews 6:16? For men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath is given as confirmation, is an end of every dispute. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise, say, that's me. You are heir to the promise. The unchangeableness of his purpose. Interpose with an oath. In other words, God has stamped this thing for you. So that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. Once you look at your neighbor, say, it is impossible for God to lie. Do you know heaven and earth has to pass away if God lied? So he's not going to go back on his word. What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean to you? It should give you some faith and confidence to say, if God said it, I can trust it. Because the Bible said he's not a son of man that he should lie. See, God is not going to lie. If he said it, he would do it. But the problem with us is, well, we want it done right now. And God says, I got a plan for you. Just hold on. That it is impossible for God to lie. We whom have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. What is the hope? This is the hope. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul. A hope both sure and steadfast, and one which entered into the veil, which Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, let me just unpack a little of this for you, okay? First of all, we need to understand that we are heirs according to the promise. Okay? Second, the God that promised will not lie. Okay? Third, we need to know that it's the anchor for my soul. Okay? Now notice he said soul. What does a soul consist of? Mind, will, emotions. Let me give you another one. Desires. So what he's saying is, I'm an anchor when things try to come unraveled. The anchor is a, let me just give you a look. The anchor is a device normally made of metal used to secure a vessel to the bed of a body of water. You know, when they go out on the ships, they drop the anchor. How many know it holds the boat in place? The waves and everything can just be floating around that boat, but that boat ain't going nowhere. Why? Because there's an anchor. Amen. And how many know we're anchored in God? See, the winds are blow, the storms are calm. But because we are built upon a rock, how many know our house is going to stand? But if you're building on sand, how many know the storms is going to blow you over? So what is he saying here? We need to build with what? In mind that we have a hope, the anchor of our soul. That when we begin to get tossed to and fro, the Bible said Abraham wavered not in unbelief. He didn't waver. This man is 100 years old and God done promised him a child. And he didn't waver from what God had promised him. So he stood strong in faith. He didn't waver. In other words, people were saying, oh, you know, that ain't going to happen, Abraham. But Abraham had become so convinced that even I'm 100 years old, it's going to happen. Because God said it. Your situation might look like God is never going to come through for me. I'm never going to get the house. I'm never going to do this. I'm never going to do that. Let me encourage you. Just hold on to what God said. Because if God promised it, guess what? It's up to God to bring it to pass, not you. Okay? So the anchor, see, when my mind begin to, how many of you know your mind get to wandering sometimes like, oh, I don't know, God going to do this or not at this time or not. Your emotions get to feeling like, oh, I don't know what's going on. How many of you know you feel like you're being tossed to and fro? But that's when you got to anchor down in God and say, God said it, and that settles it. Amen? Let's look at Romans 4 right quick. Romans 4. So that anchor want to hold you in place. That's my hope. It's going to hold me in place. Is this making sense to you? Okay, look at verse 18. Romans 4, verse 18, okay? It says, in hope, against hope, he believed so that he might become a father of many nations. According to that which had been spoken, so should your descendants be. This is Abraham. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body now as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver. He did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory or giving praise to God. And being fully assured, another translation says, being fully persuaded. That's what that word believe means, to be persuaded. Sometimes we are persuaded by the lies of the enemy instead of the truth of God's word. Okay? Notice that being fully persuaded that what God had promised, listen, that what God had promised, he was able also to what? Perform it. See, my faith is in what God has said. What is God saying about this situation? Do you not know every situation that we go through, if we will go to the Word of God and begin to examine the Scriptures and begin to find out the truth and let the Holy Spirit begin to give us revelation, we will begin to see some things take place. See, don't get upset because, well, I lost my temper here. Don't look like it's going to happen here. You know, the situation just looks so bad. But guess what? What is God saying? What is God saying? See, we're going to go through things, but things do not have to take us out, church. We can overcome everything the enemy throw in our path. Why? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The Holy Ghost is on the inside of you. Oh, excuse me. Well, the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. He's in you not just to tickle you every now and then, but he's in you to show up powerfully when you go through things. He is a helper. Jesus said, I will give you another helper. Do you not know that word, another helper, means I will give you the same quality kind of Holy Ghost that's been leading me in this world. I'm going to give it to you. The same quality of the Holy Spirit that led Jesus in the wilderness is in us now, and he leads us places. We think, no, this can't be the Holy Ghost. How many know more? Yes, it is him, because he know what? He's trying to get some stuff out of us. He's wanting us to build on promises. See, you can activate it by speaking. Say, listen, the Bible says power and death is in what? The tongue. What are you saying?
Well, there's no hope for me, Pastor John.
What did you? You just described what God just told you. I am a God of hope. He's the God of hope. I'm not in this alone. I'm not in this on my own. He's in me, and he's for me. But guess what? I got to get in the Word to find out what's rightfully mine. That's why the enemy want to keep us away from reading and studying the Word of God, because he don't want you to learn the truth. You are more than just a human being sitting out or waiting for Jesus to come. There's greatness in every one of us, but what the enemy don't want us to do is come to the knowledge of it. There's greatness in you. You say, well, I can't accept that. You don't know. Well, see, that's why you can't make it. I'm just going to be honest with you. See, if you get into that belief system that you can't make it, you ain't going to make it. Well, I'm saved. Well, act like it. Act like it. I'm a believer. Well, act like it. See, it's time out for just playing around with it. It's some stuff coming that if we ain't anchored in God, we're going to blow over like a ship out in the, we're going to be sailing way out yonder somewhere because we don't have an anchor. And God is trying to get us anchored in the truth so that when the storms of life begin to hit harder than what they're hitting, there's an anchor on the inside of you that will tie you down, that when the wind blow, amen, it won't blow you over. Why? Because you're founded on the rock. Amen. You're founded in him. And the Bible said, it's in him I live and move and have my being. It ain't in this world activity and what's going on. Well, the world is trying to shape us and build us and make us into its mold. How many know that our thinking should be a little higher than the word, the world? Why? Because we have an advantage. We have the Holy Ghost. And that's what Jesus said. Amen? You say, did Jesus really say that? Well, let's see, did he say that? Let's go to St. John. St. John 14 says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. And that another, like I told you, is the same quality, Holy Spirit. He is a helper, that he may be with you forever. This is a spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and shall what? And will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. Okay? Let's look at St. John 16 and 12. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own initiative, but whatsoever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose or reveal to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and what? Disclose it or revealed it to you. Okay? So what is the Holy Spirit doing? He's revealing truth. Okay? He's revealing truth. All right? So do you have hope today? Do you have hope today? There's going to come some things that's going to try to discourage you. But get anchored in the Word. Begin to speak the Word. Begin to say what God says. Amen? Stand to your feet in closing. We're going to make some decorations. Give me Psalms 33. Can y'all throw that up there? Psalms 33. If not, mark it down. Psalms 33, verse 18. Behold, the eyes of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness, to deliver their souls from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is a help and our shield. For our heart rejoice in him, because we trust in his holy name. Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us, according as we have hope in you. Let's look at Lamentations 3, verse 21. Lamentations 3, verse 21. Got it? No? Okay. This I recall to mind, that I have hope. Notice what he said. I recall to mind. I remind myself that I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease. For his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. So don't get discouraged when you're waiting. The Lord is good for those who wait for him. To the person who seeks him, it is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. You say, well, I already got salvation. That could mean your deliverance, honey. Because salvation means wholeness, deliverance. Amen? Isaiah 26, verse 3. The steadfast of mind you keep in perfect peace, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. Yeah. Woo! Let's look at Proverbs 23, verse 17. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Do you have hope? Amen? Hope. The Bible said, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. Father, we thank you today for your people, Lord. And God, we pray, God, that you stir up the joy and the peace that hope brings, Lord. And Father, we bless them today, and we pray, Father, that where there's discourage, you will bring encourage. God, where there is disappointment, you will begin to appoint the appointed time. And Lord, we pray over them right now in Jesus' name that hope will arise, Father. God, that you said we're not orphans. You have not left us alone, Lord. You are with us. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you said you will be in us forever. So Lord, we thank you for it. And we thank you for your people today, Lord. And we pray, God, that hope will just begin to spring up, Lord. And even the enemy will be wake up and say, what is going on with this child of God now? What is going on? I thought I had them, but they're rising up again. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Have a blessed week. Be hopeful. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.